Jake Gyllenhaal has a knack for making movies that are complex and layered. Take films like Brokeback Mountain, Donnie Darko, Nightcrawler. These aren't simple narratives. A lot of his films capture the pain, madness, and nuance of the human condition. And his latest certainly picks up on that thread. It's a remake of the Danish thriller The Guilty, and it takes place over one day in a 911 dispatch call center. Jake Gyllenhaal plays an operator who receives a call from a woman who he believes has been abducted. Have a listen.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
I just want to talk to you.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
I'm just out for a drive, sweetie, okay?
Is there someone with you?
Uh-huh.
Does the person you're with have a weapon?
Yes.
I need the color of the car, okay? When I say the right one, say it's fine. Red? White?
It's fine.
Is it a car?
No, man.
What? No, just yes or no. Just yes or no answers, Emily.
I'm sorry. I have to hang up.
Give me the phone right now.
I'm going to die.
Whew. I have the chills. The film will have you questioning what is real and will leave you thinking a lot about the value of honesty, even when things get difficult. And that's all I'm going to say, so as not to spoil anything. Jake Gyllenhaal spoke to Tom Power during the Toronto International Film Festival.
How are you?
I'm well. Nice to be here.
Now, help me with this now. You were watching the original version of this film. And the first time you watch it, you say, I gotta have the rights to that. I have to be able to make that in the U.S. What was it about it?
You know, I couldn't tell you exactly, though I'll try. I think some of it was just sometimes you feel something in your bones and you think there's something that just works about it, you know, something that just feels like you're inspired by it in a particular way. Very rarely do I ever see something and I think, oh, I would love to remake that. It's not really my tendency. It's not something that I have a desire to do, but I felt this idea that there are things underneath it that initially the first movie is set in Denmark, you know, so it has a different political kind of context. And I thought if it were transposed into America, it would have a completely different message and undercurrent. I also loved the technicalities and how it was done. It felt theatrical, felt like a theater piece. I have a lot of background in theater. And I think, you know, we are fine in the theater having different actors play Macbeth, having different actors play Hamlet, having different actors play a whole slew of incredible classics, you know, over and over again, the different interpretations become what is appealing about a great piece of material. And I felt like this held to, I mean, I'm not going to say Shakespearean standards, but it held to, you know, a sort of theatrical standard where you could reinterpret it in a different context. It could mean something totally different. And I loved that thought and that idea.
Can you contrast that for me? Like, what was the sociopolitical context you saw in the Danish film? And then what is the context that meets it in the American version?
Well, a lot of things that people don't always take into account when thinking about why people decide to do films or tell stories is obviously the period of time they're living in. You know, the Danish film initially came out, we were living in a completely different world. And I didn't know how we would develop that story. I didn't know what it would become, you know, but I believed in it. I knew that it would somehow reveal itself. Then we've been through the past 2 years, you know, with in particularly the States, but all over the world, with this worldwide pandemic, you know, with so many things coming into question, with George Floyd and all of the terrible things that happened there, and then sort of the extraordinary response. And I think when I sent this script to Antoine, it was right in the middle of all of those things. And I think both of us had a very visceral response to playing a first responder about people's perceptions of other people, misconceptions, judgments, projections, when you don't see their faces, particularly, you know, it's a movie where you hear people's voices, but you do not see their faces except for mine. And so we can project as an audience and we can project as a character so many things onto these people and make mistakes and just based on assumptions and presumptions.
What did you learn in doing research? Because I know you spent some time observing, getting to know folks who man 911 dispatch centers. What did you learn watching them?
I think obviously there are specific details to the job that I learned and watching how calls come in and the technicalities. But the most incredible thing I learned was that I guess I knew, but I never really took into account, was that more often than not, a 911 dispatcher never knows what happens at the end. You know, they pass off a situation that is usually life-threatening or dire, and then they don't know if it's resolved. They don't know if the person they've been speaking to personally, guiding them through a situation, survives. They don't know if other people got hurt or something's happening in the process. And to have call after call like that come in on a daily or nightly basis and then go home carrying that emotional weight.
With unanswered questions in the back of your head all day.
Perpetually,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Living at a super heightened state in your work and then coming back to your home, you know, that has a significant psychological effect on people, regardless of whether or not you're strong of mind. I think what it made me realize is that, do we have the systems in our countries and in our cities to have people who are doing these jobs have an outlet to express their feelings, have them resolve things that are so unresolved, you know? And the real answer to that is not really. Mm. And so to me, I think that was outside of this movie, but I think in line with the themes, undercurrents of the film, that's what I was really surprised by. I kind of knew it, right? We all kind of know it. But you don't really know it till you're in that room with them, listening to them take those calls.
Let's play a clip from the film. Take a listen to this.
Could you send a car over to 5800 Regis Street, apartment 6? It's urgent. I'm working a convicted felon, kidnapped his ex-wife, left two kids at the mother's house. They're alone.
Mm-hmm. Joe.
Look, we need to hurry, all right? Just get a unit over to the mother's house and then send one over to his and kick his fucking door in if you have to.
Joe, excuse me?
I talked to a terrified 6-year-old girl and I promised her that her mother would come home.
I'm assuming that there's no warrant for his residence, so I'm going to send someone to the mother's house to check on the kid.
No!
Joe, it's too much.
No, goddamn it, Bill. There is a scared little girl whose mother has been abducted.
That's enough.
That's Jake Gyllenhaal in The Guilty. And as you can hear there, that's the 911 dispatcher, Joe, trying to get answers to those unanswered questions. There's something interesting about the making of this film. I don't typically talk a lot about process when it comes to filmmaking, but I find this one really interesting. It's a very isolated film. The film is mainly you on screen by yourself, which, by the way, has to be a joy to watch back, by the way. I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's a joy.
Yeah. Every actor I know loves watching themselves. So I can only imagine an entire movie where it's just you. It must be just a great time.
You know, what's really interesting is that there's this moment where in the movie, I think in particular, your brain kind of switches off to watching me. I mean, I guess some people's it won't. They'll just be annoyed by my face, but there will be a moment where you just start to imagine what these people are saying in the worlds that they're in, because there's really beautiful sound design around all the calls and you can feel the environments these people are in. And I find myself, when we were in the editing process and post-production, moving really into that imaginary world because it's so beautifully done. And that's really, the movie is huge world of sound going on this character.
It is sort of part movie, part podcast, it felt like in some ways. And in the work that I do, like the theater of the mind, right? But your director was in a van far away from you directing you in this movie.
So what happened was the Friday before we were supposed to start shooting on the next Monday, someone near to Antoine Fuqua, our director, tested positive for COVID. Now, this was shot in October 2020, and we had decided that we were going to shoot the movie in a very short period of time. You know, that was also part of the thrill of it. nobody was really making stuff at the time. There were a lot of risks. We were kind of first out trying to figure out how to do this whole thing, if it was possible and if we would be safe. And we just didn't know. What we didn't take into account was we thought if we did it fast, that'd be great. We could get it done and people would be at less risk. But we didn't really take into account that it was a 12-day quarantine, 10 or 12-day quarantine. So we were shooting the movie in a scheduled 11-day shoot. So if anyone tested positive, it meant it didn't mean we had insurance to go on. It meant basically the movie was going to stop.
Yeah.
And we probably wouldn't have been able to finish it or make the film.
Yeah.
So Antoine, the Friday before, gets a call saying he can't come to set for 10 days. And we didn't really know what to do. So we thought it through and thought it through and spent the weekend and decided, what if we got a van equipped with monitors and gave him all of the opportunity to communicate, set up a camera where he could see the stage, where he could move his cameras around, have communication with his camera operators. We had three cameras that were going to shoot, you know, me simultaneously through every scene. And he could see all the monitors and what was being shot and sound and communicate to the actors who were going to be calling in on Zoom. I mean, there was a huge choreography.
Yeah, but how was that for you? I mean, you're by yourself.
Well, I mean, at that point, you know, I mean, I developed the movie. We produced the movie. I was desperate to get the movie done. There were a lot of people counting on us. And I think you go into a different mindset at that point. At that point, you just go, how do we get this done?
Right.
You know, how do we get this to work? So I don't know. Part of the thrill of it was, how could I do it in a short period of time? You know, I'd pretty much memorized the whole movie, so I was ready to go. And there was a thrill to it, you know, a lot of tension, a lot of pressure, but I've been doing this for some time and I like that, you know, I thrive in that space. So we put him in a van a block away and hardwired him to the stage, and he directed the entire movie from the van, and we FaceTimed with each other. Occasionally I would climb a ladder up over the wall of the studio and he would open his van door and I could see him a block away and we would like talk. We have one photograph he took of me and I took of him when he walked down the street and I was up on top of a ladder and he was on the street. And it was quite unusual.
I'm John Power. You're listening to Q. My guest is actor Jake Gyllenhaal. We've been talking about his latest film, The Guilty. And I don't want to give anything away here, but in the film, I do want to say that your character realizes that in order to, solve what he's working on, he then has to come to terms with his own past, own up to his own truth, own up to his own actions. And I guess you see these films through sort of a Rorschach test of whatever you're going through in your own life. How did this film make you think about the power of being honest with yourself? What happens when you're vulnerable, when you're truthful with yourself?
I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. The movie starts off with, you know, the truth shall set you free, you know? So I think that only through individual discovery, through looking at our own truths, can we affect the systems around us. I think this is a movie about redemption in a way, but not earthly redemption. I don't think the characters in this movie are redeemed on this earth. I think they are redeemed spiritually because they tell the truth in the moment. And that means consequence, right? And I think what's very interesting is, in a lot of ways, this is a fantasy. In a lot of ways, the message of the movie is this is what we hope to be, you know, that people have the bravery to tell their own truth. And that's what I find so beautiful about creating or acting is that you have a safe space within which to express feelings that probably wouldn't otherwise be safe. You know, it's why I feel like it's so important that, you know, children have a space in the world to have an artistic expression, whatever it is.
Like you, yeah. like acting gives you a space to express things that don't feel safe.
Yeah. I mean, people ask me a lot of questions in this sort of press tour that I've been doing for the film. A lot of times it's, the movie's very intense. How do you go home at night, and can you, you know, how do you feel when you go home after doing such an intense, you know, piece of work? And I was like, you know, the world was beyond at the time intense. Yeah. We were all pretty much on lockdown and everybody going through so many different psychological things in terms of staying at home and dealing with their families and people they love being sick. I mean, you know, I could go on and on. And really, it was an outlet for me. I came to set and it wasn't that, oh, it stressed me out to have these feelings. It gave me a place to exorcise the feelings, you know? And I feel that way about what I do. It's what I love about what I do.
But you do strike me as a man, and I'm no great student of your career, but I know enough about it, especially through getting this, that you seem like a man who does seek out darker characters. You know, I think about Southpaw or Zodiac or Nightcrawler. Why is mm-hmm. that?
I mean, I'm not a real believer in the fact that I seek things out. I believe the target draws forth the arrow, you know? Like I have a philosophy that things are come to you in particular ways. And then I think also there's just a tendency and I like to move away from those tendencies at times. And you'll probably see me do that a little bit more in the future though. But whether you know the work I do or not, you know, like I think my tendency is to move from a type of consistency. Like I do gravitate towards some darker things, but I think we have a tendency to make sort of, you know, talk about things being dark or intense or, you know, I made this movie Nightcrawler and everyone says, you're so creepy. It's like the word everybody used, creepy, creepy, creepy. And it's like, because we all subscribe to an idea that is, in my opinion, maybe not as, I think a little too simply, you know, I said to Antoine, he said to me yesterday, I had sent him at one point, there's light in the darkness, you know, when we were making another movie we'd made together. And I believe that. Like, I believe you dig deep into certain things within yourself and your life is more joyous. I think, like, analyzing oneself and looking at your behavior and your actions is really important because it allows you to find joy. A lot of people say, oh, you know, let's be happy, you know, be happy, be happy. Like, I don't know if you can be happy fully until you dig deep into all parts of yourself, you know? So that's part of probably why I gravitate towards some darker material. It allows for those feelings to come out.
I guess that leads me, I guess one, and I know I have to wrap soon, but the one thing I was coming into this thinking a little bit about is you managed to open up a very big tent for people to have complex thoughts like this. Who are we? Who are we deep inside of us? Sometimes that can be done through a small art film that, you know, 30,000 people will see. But you, throughout your career, you have been able to have and bring complex thoughts, whether it's through Donnie Darko, whether through this film, to a lot of people, a very broad audience. So I guess where do you see the line between kind of introspective art and entertainment? I know that's a long question for a rap, but is it something you think about?
I just can't do it sort of any other way. You know, you have to follow the things that feel true to you. And if you have the opportunity to do what you love to do, which is what I do, I you know, there's, it always has to have something for me underneath it that I can kind of anchor to, you know? That is just for me what is important. And I think communicating a larger message of sort of more complex feelings is very important to me. I think there's this idea that I think bigger films tend to water down those ideas and those feelings. And for as long as I can work, I will always start and try to strive for putting more of the complexities into the characters and into the movies that I make and try and get them out to more people. Like it's great fun. It's hopefully changing things in a little bit of way that I can do it, you know? And I really truthfully, and it does, this is not, I can't do it any other way.
Right.
You know, there've been so many moments in my career where I've had opportunities to do things and as great and as successful as those films have ended up being, they weren't for me, you know? And that's the thing you just have to be true to. Or else you like wake up one morning and go, what have I been doing? You know, I just can't do it. I've tried, believe me, I've tried. I can't really
That's beautiful. Listen, it's been a joy to talk to you. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you so much. So nice to talk to you too. Have a, be safe.
Yeah,
have
man.
Fun out there.
We miss you here.
Wherever you are. I think you're in Canada, right?
Or I'm in Toronto. I'm in Toronto where you should be right now. Maybe one of these days you'll be back here, you know?
I really, really wanted to be there. I have to say I'm sitting here begrudgingly, truly.
Well, we have a chair for you whenever you get back. Nice to see you, Jake. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
That was Tom Power's conversation with Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake's film, The Guilty, is in select theaters now and available on Netflix today.